prevail. Honor is my weapon, compassion my shield. In the garden of struggle, my soul's revealed.
Holy Spirit, guide me,
lift me high.
You're listening to WRFU LP Urbana 104.
Good afternoon. This is WRFU LP Urbana. WRFU is an open forum for the Urbana-Champaign community. Views expressed are those of the speakers and are not intended to represent WRFU UCIMC. This is Good Afternoon, Champaign, Urbana, and Vicinity. And I'm Reverend Dr. Evelyn Underwood. And you, sir?
I'm Dr. Bishop King James Underwood.
And you, sir?
And I'm Deacon Bobby Gilner.
Yes. And we're here to serve you for the next hour here. And we want to first of all say that we're here to do the will of him that sent us while it's day, because when the night cometh, no man can work. First of all, we do have a program for you today. First of all, we're going to have Deacon Bobby Gilner to do a prayer in word, and I will do a prayer in word. And Bishop King James, Dr. Bishop King, will do a prayer in song. And we'll go on from there. God's blessings.
Okay.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord.
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Father God, in the name of your Son Jesus, there's so much when we read the newspaper, look at on social media of all types, when we look at television, and when we just look around us, there's so much going on. However, we don't sorrow as those who have no hope. Yes, sometimes we are still in the flesh and we get upset because we see people who are being traumatized by the cuts in the food stamp. You look at the paper, they're going up on electric bills, people looking at their gas hand, gas up so high. Lord have mercy. Yes, the buses are running, but sometimes people got the kind of shifts that they need transportation. They need a car to be able to drive. Lord, so much. People are dying like flies. Going to the doctor, go to the emergency room, they send them home. Next day they dead. Lord have mercy. So much more. So much more. However, God, we read your word and we believe your word. And you said in your word, hallelujah, that you do not sleep, nor do you slumber. So it tells me you see all of this that's going on. But in your word, Lord, you always also said that sometime to give us an opportunity to come to you, you delay things from happening. I don't know, because I don't see the big picture, but I know you do, Lord. So we all have a role to play, Lord, in every situation. All that's going on. You know what obligations you gave us. We need to love one another. We need to love ourselves. We need to, hallelujah, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, hallelujah. We need to stay rapture ready. We need to be ready if and when you come. I know you're coming, but I just don't know when in the rapture. But Lord, you also coming for each of us if the rapture doesn't come before. So we need to stay ready to go back to you. In addition to that, we must be discipling others, bringing ones to you that don't know you, helping the ones to see their mistake and come back to you. Help us do our obligation. Help us do our responsibility, Lord. In Jesus' name. Yes, we're going through. I'm traumatized. So I know people who don't know you, what they're going through. But Lord, I got a secret that I'm willing to share with anyone. And that secret is, I know you. In the power of your suffering, in the power of your resurrection, I know you. And I know you love everyone. And you are looking out for the people who can't look out for themselves. You're loving God. God is love. And love is God. We thank you, Lord. And we who know you got to make sure that we don't forget what you told us in your word. So in order to not forget, we got to make sure we're reading your word. We're studying your word. And you know what? It helps us. Sometimes the Lord, I want to go to sleep while I'm reading. Yeah, the devil wants you to go to sleep because he don't want you to get that word in your heart. The Bible say, hide the word in your heart that you might not sin against him. The more words you get in you, the more you can fight Satan. Because a lot of this is spiritual warfare. And we got to worship him in spirit and in truth. And we got to allow the Holy Spirit. He's a gentleman. We got to allow the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us into all truth. Hallelujah. Righteousness. Lord, I thank you. Lord, I thank you. I thank you because you told me in your word that I can tell Satan in your name, in the name of Jesus, that I bind you and every principality, power, rule of darkness, spiritual host of wickedness, in heavenly places. We can bind those evil spirits in Jesus' name. Every evil spirit, every demon spirit, and every spirit that is not of God. And you know those spirits try to fight against us, work against us. Oh, Lord, we can bind those spirits in the name of Jesus. And they're going to come back. But, Lord, we can keep binding them in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And we can know that we've got in touch with you. And everything is going to be all right. Thank you, Lord. And also, you said in your word, we can cancel every hex, vex, spell, jinx, work of witchcraft, divination, black magic. They're here, y'all. Psychic mind control, new age sorcery, and bewitchment sent to oppose us. We can cancel them out in Jesus' name. That name that's above every name. Help me, Lord, to use your word. Hallelujah. Because we can't fight with our fists. We can't fight with anger. Oh, in Jesus' name. We can't become depressed. We got to stand flat-footed, as the old folks used to say, and use the word of God against these evil spirits. In Jesus' name. He died and rose again. The grave is empty. Hallelujah. We serve a risen Savior. Thank you, Jesus. And we can pray for us. We can pray for the people who don't know him. And God can send them in our presence. And we can tell them about Jesus. That's what it's all about, church. That's what it's all about, people. In Jesus' name. We can render those assignments, those evil schemes and attacks and harassment of Satan's null, void, powerless, inactive, inoperative, and ineffective. Ineffective against us. In the name of Jesus, we can plead the blood over ourselves, our family members. We can name them. Over our neighbors, over our homes, we can plead the blood of Jesus. We can ask the angels, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, to come and get on assignment on our behalf. In Jesus' name, we don't have to get depressed and feel we have no hope. There's nothing we can do. Yes! In Jesus' name, Habasha. Yes, Lord. We thank you, Lord Jesus. The anointing break the yokes. Hallelujah. And when we keep our temper clean, hallelujah, the Holy Spirit will live within us in Jesus' name. And we can call on him. And we can be in the Spirit. And the Spirit is in us, but we can be in the Spirit and let him lead and guide us in all ways of truth. Hallelujah. Walk and talk with him in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And Lord, let us do in this program what you would have us to do. In Jesus' name, we thank you. You are the pilot. Hallelujah. We're the passengers. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. 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 Our Father,
which art in heaven, hallowed be
yes.
thy name,
thy
kingdom come, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debt as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory,
yes,
forever. Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you. As you was singing, as we were praying and all, and I was thinking about the ministerial lives of Champaign-Urbana and Vicinity. All year, we've been praying and fasting under the guidance of Elder Gladys Downing and her committee. We've been praying for the school, praying for the children, praying for the community. Oh, so many prayers. And we thank and praise God. Yes, we thank and praise God that we were saying how God had blessed and answered so many of our prayers. And things was going well. And we still got to continue praying. And fasting. Because some things come only through fasting and prayer. Is that right, Bishop?
That's right.
Is that right, Deacon Bobby? And that's what we got to continually do. Because we see that for years they had the daycare center at Parkland College. They're closing that down, you know. And there's so many thousands of people who are being cut off SNAP. The food stamp, thousands of people. And one of the ministers happened to be Pastor Ted Burnett in California. He's been speaking on this and researching it. And I'm telling you, it's going to be, what do you call that effect? It's going to affect the people, of course. It's going to affect the churches. And then it's going to affect the stores where people get the groceries for the, when thousands and thousands of people are cut off. This is just in Illinois, you know. They're going to affect the stores, the storekeepers, the store owners. And then it's going to affect the farmers. I mean, it's going to be a roller coaster effect. I can't think of the word right now. And that's what we got to continue to pray. And today, this morning, when we went to the clergy breakfast, we had some elected officials, the young man who's running for lieutenant governors, and we had the mayors of both cities there, and ministers. Some of the ministers even came up from Danville and Decatur. And all, as well as Champaign-Urbana vicinity, we were praying. I mean, they had some wonderful speakers. And Pastor Burnett said, we got to come together. We got to work in partnership. I'm telling you. And we got to seek his face as the faith leaders. Because Bishop and Deacon Bob is going to get into the Sunday school lesson hopefully early today, because we have a wonderful lesson. But one thing that I want to say about the Bible and about faith leaders and what happened in the Bible, they had people of God working together with the kings. We don't want no kings. We don't want no tyranny, Oh, I thought you were saying something. But we don't want that. But in the democracy that we have, we still need the faith leaders to have a say in what's going on and be able to pray and get ideas from God, because they're close to God. Our pastors and bishops and apostles, they're close to God. And we need to have them let the leadership in the government hear them when it comes to what they, what God is telling us as people of God and as people, just citizens. We got a role to play. Voting, we got to vote. We got to vote. We got to vote. We must vote. We must tell our children, 18 and up, once graduating from high school, it's time to make sure that you take, I think November 3rd, it's in November, but there are people voting in other states and getting ready to vote other states, but in Illinois, you know what, when you're supposed to vote here. But you can look up online, go to the library. Deacon Bobby always say it's good to go to the library. And whatever information you need, they have people who are qualified to help you find the information, you know, that you need. And I always say school is out. However, we must continually allow and make sure we put our children in some educational program. Recreation, yes, too, for the summer. But we need to keep that reading. At the library, when my kids was coming up, and with my grandchildren, I put them in the programs, the reading programs that they used to have at the library. And they get little, if they finish it all, and they get rewards, I don't know, whatever it is now. I'm not sure now. But we got to help, Bishop, our grandchildren and great-grands to get in reading programs, get in programs that they have for the summer. I remember we used to have Sister Karen. She used to go and make sure, especially in the when school get ready to start and there are programs at the university, sign our children up. Sign our children up for those programs in Jesus' name to make sure, because everybody's trying to get in the program. So she used to stand in line early, ready to sign all our children up for the program. And so we need to continue on doing that to make sure our children are reading. And a lot of things. Please, ma'am, and please, sir, when you see these negative things, well, it's information in the newspaper, and you listen on radio and TV and all. Ask God, what are you supposed to do about it? He'll let you know. Sometimes people like me can't get around like I used to be able to, but I can use my voice. I can call people to say, did you see that? What does that mean? What can we do to see that this doesn't happen? Or how can we help it to make it happen? We got to do something. We can't sit and do nothing. Yes, what were you going to say, Deacon Bobby?
Oh, when you ask God questions like that, I don't know where this scripture is at, but it says he'll work it in you to do of his good pleasure.
That's right.
So when you ask him questions like that, it's not hard for God to answer that.
Yes, Lord.
The Bible says he will.
Yes, Lord. Will. Yes, Lord. And two, you can see where the News Gazette got, where people, I think it's Tuesdays, where people can write in, can write, and I know some people who are writers, some and who are well-versed in what's going on. It's good to put it on Facebook, But sometimes it's good to write for the News Gazette, so a different group, everybody's not on Facebook, you know, a different group can see and see what they can do to help what you are thinking about and what's going on with you. I know this gentleman called me from New York and was talking about one of the programs that we had going on in his community. And I know our children was involved in a whole lot of different programs at the university, you know, because that was when John Lee Johnson, myself, and others like us, Roy Williams, and Ted Atkinson, and Elders Hattie Park, a lot of us was working to try to ensure that the university include us and our children in things that were going on at the university where they could reach out. Now that's not being done, and nobody's trying to make it happen. You know, they even tell their students not to even come to the North End. You know, go around and don't even come through it, the way of the North End. But what can we do about that? Somebody need to do something about it. I've been praying to God about it. But when he called me from New York, I had an opportunity. He sent me a link where I could read some of the research. And, oh, my God, it was so relevant for today. And I'm going to try to get some people to come on so we can talk about some of this, because it's been a lot of years for my qualitative and quantitative research and all, you know. But, however, I still have the knowledge, and I can do it, and I can get somebody close by who are still doing the research. They're doing differently now. A lot of them is doing dissertations and all on video, and technology is really taking over, which is good. However, there's still a need, as I believe, to read books. and yeah, we can get a lot with AI and Google and all that, but to me, we need to do the research where we can see, eyeball it.
So doing it manually, huh?
Yes.
You don't
want to
lose that.
No, we don't. But listen, I want to stop right now and make sure that we get an opportunity to do our Sunday school lesson, Bishop. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to turn it over to Deacon Bobby Gilner and Bishop King James Underwood for our Sunday school lesson. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Yes, Lord. Do we need to do a song or something? Or are y'all ready?
I'm ready.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
So, the heading of today's lesson is Christ's sacrifice once for all.
Mm.
Christ's sacrifice once for all. And we're coming to you from Hebrews, the 10th chapter, verses 1 through 10. Other related scriptures are Psalms 40, 6 through 8, Psalms 50, 7 through 15, Isaiah 1, 9 through 20, I believe that is John, the 5th chapter, 19th verse, and also the 30th verse. And also Hebrews, the 7th chapter, 23. And also the 8th chapter of Hebrews, the 13th chapter. Time between AD 60 and 69, place unknown. going to go right into the lesson. Hebrews, the 10th chapter, verse 1 says, "For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not to the very image of the things, can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year, continually make the comers thereunto perfect."
What that verse was talking about is that the sacrifice that Moses did and the tabernacle and how to do the sacrifice, the bullocks and the doves and the goats and the pigeons, they use their blood. If you weren't able to do a goat, a bullock, you would do a pigeon, two pigeon or two dove. But this sacrifice was a foreshadow of things to come. Mm-hmm. And that lamb that they did the Passover with in the wilderness, it was a representation of Jesus, our Passover lamb, coming to redeem us from our sin. Jesus is our Passover lamb. That's why it said Jesus sacrificed once for all. That means for whosoever will. He died for the whole world, but the whole world will not accept what he did, so they can't be saved. Jesus is the only way that we can be saved and we can have eternal life with Christ and his Father, Jehovah God, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. And I like that lesson. The sacrifices and offerings and ordinances that they were doing couldn't make us perfect. Couldn't save us, in other words. Is that correct?
Yes, because there was no salvation in the blood of bullocks and doves. But it was just a foreshadow, and until the real deal come, they did it to be a foreshadow of Christ coming as our Passover lamb. So Jesus, when he was doing the Feast of the Passover, he instituted the Last Supper or the Lord's Supper, and that's for whosoever will, not only for the Jews but Gentiles as well. We all can partake of the Lord's Supper.
I have a question. At the Lord's Supper, you said he instituted
At the Passover.
Uh-huh. Oh, okay, I got something mixed up. Never mind, I won't ask that question then.
Yeah, because the Passover was for the Jews only.
Uh-huh.
But the Lord's Supper was for whosoever will.
Okay, verse 2 says, "For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers once purged should have had no more conscience of sins." So that's pretty much covering what some of the stuff we said. These sacrifices or these things that they were doing were not going to make us perfect or solve the problem.
Because those who was offering a sacrifice, they had sin as well as the ones that they was offering a sacrifice for. Before they could offer a sacrifice for the people, the priests had to first offer a sacrifice for themselves to be purified before God to offer a sacrifice for the people, because they were not perfect.
Verse 3 says, "But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins each year." So these were yearly sacrifices. They had to come back. As you said, the priest, he had problems and he had sins, so he had to offer for himself.
Mm-hmm.
And the people that were coming each year.
Yeah, because they had to wait a whole year before they make atonement for their sin, and they had to go to the temple, and the priest went before God on their behalf. But now, since Jesus, we can go directly with him. We don't have to wait a whole year. When we sin, we can repent and come back to God.
Amen. Amen. Go get on your knees and talk to him. Hey, that's something. You can go before God. Get on your knees or however you're going to do it in prayer.
Mm-hmm.
That's going before God. And he hears you. And he answers your prayers. Okay, now we're at verse 4. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sin. That's, again, covering the things that we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
It's a confirmation letting us know that those ordinances and those sacrifices that they were doing was temporary.
Yes, and in the book of Isaiah, that's what Isaiah talked about. God said he was sick of their sacrifice and their offering, their burnt offering, because they were doing it merely as a thing to do, and they wasn't serious about repenting of their sin. They kept on sinning and doing what they was doing, but yet and still it's offering a sacrifice to God and the sacrifice to idols. And God said he was sick of their sacrifices. And he was preparing a new sacrifice, and that was his son to be a propitiation for the sin of many. And if we go to Revelation, John declared that he looked and saw a lamb as if it had been slain from the foundation of the world. And that was before man was made. When the foundation was established, man was not here. And God had an alternate plan if man failed, that he could have a recourse to come back to him.
Amen. And you know, he's all seeing and all knowing. So it's better to have a plan made by him than plan made by man, right?
That's right.
Okay. Verse 5 says, wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifices and offerings thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. So it's, again, covering some of the things that we're talking about. He said, sacrifices thou wouldest not. That means that the God, as you say, was the sacrifices weren't taking away the sin.
So he had to send his son Jesus, and that's what the psalmist talked about. Jesus was sent to bear the sins of the world, and through his own blood and his own life, he gave it for a ransom for whosoever will. And there's a lot of other things I could add to that, but it'd take too much time. But Jesus, that's what the book of Isaiah, and that was way before Christ. Isaiah spoke of some of the things that Christ fulfilled in the scripture. And the scripture in Isaiah talked about the same scripture that was in Hebrew, that Jesus took our sin, and he come and he asked the Father to prepare him a body that he would go down and redeem man, because Jesus become poor that we might become rich. He was a king sitting on the throne, and he took off royalty and came as a servant to save us from our sin.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I always say that's a lot of love. You do something like that.
Hallelujah.
But he is love, so. Verse 6 says, in burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, thou hast had no pleasure. So, ultimately speaking, these again, sacrifices were not a solution to the actual problem.
Actually, God would have accepted their sacrifices, but they was sinning and doing all kind of sins, and then they wanted to make a sacrifice, but for the atonement. But yet and still, they wanted to continue in the sin that they was doing. And that's why Israel went into captivity, because they disobeyed God and his laws. And so they had to go into captivity. But he said if they would obey him, that they wouldn't have had to go in captivity, that he would take care of them. But if they disobey, They was on the unrighteous side of the law, and Jesus was letting them know there's a righteous side of the law. If you're on the righteous side, there's no law against righteousness.
Amen. And then verse 7 says, then said I, that's Jesus, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me, and that book is the word of God.
Yes, in the book of Psalms, in the book of Hebrews, it speaks about the same thing, that the words that Jesus spoke, that the book was wrote of him. And also in St. Matthew, you have some scripture to relate to that.
Mm-hmm. It says here, to do thy will, so, O God. So that's Jesus. He came here to do God's will, the Father's will.
And that was to seek and to save that which was lost in the fallen man.
Amen and amen. And then verse 8 says, above when he says, sacrifices and offerings and burnt offerings and offerings for sin thou wouldest not, neither has pleasure therein which are offered by the law. So are you saying that these Israelites were not lined up with God when they were doing these offerings?
No, they wasn't lined up with God. They was doing the same thing the world, worldly people were doing. For instance, Aaron's two sons, they was consumed by fire because they saw what the world was doing and brought it back to the tabernacle, and they offered strange fire before God. And they were destroyed in the temple. They were burned.
Mm-hmm. Consequences behind everything you do, it's going to fall in the unrighteous or in the righteous category. And verse 9 says, then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. Again, that's Jesus. He's the Lamb of God. He came here to do God's will. He's about the Father's business. He taketh away the first. And when you say he taketh away the first, that's the first covenant, right?
The first covenant, which was the bullocks and doves and lambs and all that. But the second covenant was Jesus offered himself as a living sacrifice. But now, today, we have a new sacrifice that God told us to give him. And that is our reasonable service. He said, present your body a sacrifice holy unto God. So, in essence, our body is the sacrifice. That means we have to keep our temple clean and do the will of God as Jesus did the will of his Father.
Amen. And verse 10 says, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. So if we take, we are all blessed people here. We are blessed because of what Jesus did. If we just take him on.
Yeah, that's why he came to give us out. And everybody not going to follow him. And those that don't follow him is not going to be saved. But those that believe and keep his laws, statutes, commandments, and follow him, they're going to be saved, because it's only one way that you can have access to the Father, because there's no other mediator between God and man except Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit is here on the behalf of Jesus, because he didn't want to leave us comfortless. And the Holy Spirit is taking our groans and our need back to God, Jesus Christ, and then bringing back the blessings from Jesus Christ to us. So the Holy Ghost is left to keep us comforted, because he is the comforter that Jesus prayed the Father would send us.
Amen. And before we close out, I have a question. The old covenant is passed away, but is there still some remnants of the old covenant that still active, or is that just done away with completely? Are there some?
See, when you say foreshadow, that means something similar to that which is to come.
Oh.
So the old covenant is not active because they depended on the blood of bullocks and doves and sacrificing yearly, whereas Jesus, when he sacrificed and gave his life and took his blood and offered up in heaven once and for all, for every sin that we could have committed if we repent and turn from our sins to him. So Jesus is our mediator. And the old covenant under the law, we're still under the law, but we're under the law of righteousness and not under the law of sin and death. The law has two sides, a righteous side and an unrighteous side. If you do the law, you're blessed because you're on the righteous side of the law. But if you refuse to disobey the laws, then you're on the unrighteous side of the law, and there's a penalty for unrighteousness.
That one covenant and went into salvation through Jesus Christ.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Because the first law was not designed to save men, because it was just a foreshadow of that which was to come. And Jesus was the fulfillment of the law.
Fulfillment.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So mm-hmm. So the law wasn't complete until Jesus. Mm-hmm. He had his component. The law was before was a schoolmaster to teach us right from wrong, but it didn't have a component to show us how to be delivered from our sin. But when Jesus came, he gave us that out, the repentance and repentance of sin, that we might be with God.
And you know, the reason why I asked that question is because I read in one of the Gospels, I think it was Matthew and St. Matthew and St. Luke, where a man was healed, and then God told him to go to the priest and offer a dove as a testimony.
Offer sacrifice.
Yeah, that's kind of like why I thought that some of that law was still in effect.
Well, Jesus came, and he did a lot of the law, but he was the fulfillment of the law. The thing that was righteous, he did not away with, but the thing that was unrighteous, he did away with. And some of the things Moses did because the hardening of the people's heart and not according to what God had commanded.
May I ask a question? Is it true, though, the four Gospels, that was when Jesus was doing his work, but the end of that was when he died, you know, we read it, when he died and rose again, and then it came to Acts, and Paul and all them letters and all of that. And that's what, the four Gospels are important, but it gives us information and history like St. Matthew's and all. But then once Jesus died and rose again, and then the Acts of the Apostles, you know, and that's when the actions were taking place as a result of him dying and rose again. Is that right, Bishop? Then we are under grace now. So the law has been fulfilled in Jesus Christ. So they don't have to do those and then we don't have to go to the priest. Some people are still doing it. But the Bible say we don't have to do that, is what I'm understanding. Because what? They tore the mill wall of petition down from top to bottom.
The veil in the temple was rent from the top to the bottom.
And so we don't have to go to the priest anymore. We don't have to do that. We can go directly to Jesus. So is that the fulfillment of it? I don't know.
Yes, because Jesus died and paid the price in full for our sin, to redeem us from our sin. But bullocks and doves and all the things that they tried before were not able to deliver us from sin. So the law was not fulfilled until Jesus came, and he was the fulfillment. He added compassion on us and brought salvation, that we can be delivered from our sin, and we could. But the only way we can be delivered is through Christ Jesus, except the work that he did for us. Then we are saved through grace, through Jesus Christ.
Now, you said, Reverend Dr. Underwood, you said that there are some people that are still trying to practice.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Always, because they don't want to believe. You know, and that, and once a sect of the Jewish people, you know, they still waiting for Jesus to come. But since God may had them be an example for us, God gonna deal with them separately. And the Bible says that, you know. But there are some other religions that they still doing it the old way, you know, the priests and all of that, you know. And I just like, you know, with the Catholic Church. Well, my grandson had become a Catholic, and he had to go through all of that. But
we have to know that all Jews are not unsaved, because a lot of those Jews walk with Jesus, and some of those are priests in the temple. Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea, they were in the temple, but they didn't follow the priesthood. They followed Jesus, and they was disciples of Jesus. And a lot of the Jewish people are saved, and some are still waiting for the Messiah. Mm-hmm. But the Messiah has come and gone. But there is a sect of Jews that believe in Jesus Christ, and they're Orthodox Jews, but they're still waiting for the coming of the Messiah.
Yeah.
Because God always has that remnant, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay, I turn things over to the hands of Reverend Dr. Underwood.
Yes, I wanted to, was so good that y'all was saying, and it was in the 40th chapter of Psalm 41 through, I just want to read that and see what y'all say about it, but I have to read it quickly because we're going to have to go.
Psalm 40,
1 through 10. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my going. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respected not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to us wards. They cannot be reckoned up up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. So I read five of them. What does that have to do with Christ sacrifice once for all? Don't have to do it every year no more. Does this have anything to do with what Psalms are talking about?
Because all the things after Adam, even that which was in his power, was contaminated with Adamic sin. And they had to have a pure blood. And Jesus came with the pure blood, that he was able to offer that pure blood in heaven. And that pure blood didn't cover the sin. It washed away the sin. If you had time to read Psalms 40 and 6 through 8, and that'll tell you something about Jesus right there. Psalm 60 and 8, even though the psalmist was not in the same time, and also Isaiah, but if you could read that, if we have time.
We don't. It's only 4 minutes. Yes.
But I do want to say what you read.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that's called deliverance.
Mm-hmm.
Deliverance from trouble or sin, really.
So once Jesus came,
And then, once he sacrificed himself, the price of atonement for sin was paid. And anyone that wanted to be saved could be saved through Jesus Christ.
See, he once for all. See, they had to do it every year. And it was just covering. It wasn't taken away. Right. But what? Jesus was able to take it away because all this contaminated blood after Adam sinned.
Because the priest sinned, but Jesus had no sin. He sinned not. So he was the perfect sacrifice without spot or blemish.
So while we got two more minutes, two or three more minutes. Bishop, would you sing that song? And then we're going to see everybody next week because he lives. Because of what he did. Ah, thank you, Jesus. You know, we can face tomorrow. We can face today.
Because we have a tomorrow.
Ah, yes, sir.
God sent his son. They call him Jesus. He came to love, heal and forgive. He bled and he died to buy our pardon.
Yes, Lord.
An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. Because he lives,
yes,
I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, my fear is gone. It's because I know God, he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because God lives. How sweet to hold the newborn baby, to feel the pride, the joy it gives. It is greater still, the calm assurance this child can face uncertain days, because God lives, because he lives.
Hallelujah.
I can face tomorrow, because he lives. My fear is gone. It's because I know God, he holds the future.
Yes, yes.
And life is worth the living just because God lives. It is someday yonder,
yes,
I will cross the river and fight life's final battle there. And in his death, he the glory.